At this, our 50th annual convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, it is appropriate for us to take this occasion to celebrate our past, reflect on the present, and think about planning for the future. Let us begin by remembering our debts to those who came before us. I wish to recognize Ned Graham, who was primarily responsible for uniting separate chapters into a cohesive state affiliate, and who served on the National Board of Directors for several years. We are fortunate to have a long list of talented presidents. John McCraw, the second longest serving president, whose commitment and achievement continue to inspire those who knew him. Willie Thompson, who helped us to keep the faith after John McCraw's sudden and untimely death. Jim Unvig and Mark Maurer, who built us into an affiliate worthy of being the home of our National Center and the Jernigan Institute. Michael Goss and Melissa Riccobono, who continued our legacy of advocacy and action. Affiliate presidents alone are not responsible for our success. Therefore, we salute our many longtime members who continue to remain active and give us the benefit of their wisdom and experience. We also welcome our newer members, those attending their first or second convention. Since this is our golden anniversary convention, let us ponder whether we are really a golden organization. Do we have the attributes associated with gold? Some of the attributes of gold that I will examine are wisdom, importance, discovery, courage, longevity, wealth, and love. Historians refer to the golden age of a civilization as its high point. While we cannot yet judge when the golden age of the National Federation of the Blind will be, there is no doubt that we are an organization of importance and wisdom. Gold is an important symbol in many religions. Kings and queens were adorned in gold to demonstrate their importance. Families in many cultures must provide gold at the time of a woman's wedding to ensure importance, to ensure a successful marriage. The Federation's importance is not in its trappings, but in its influence and action. Let us consider the effect of Federation philosophy on each of us. Our founder, Dr. Jacobus Tenbrook, proclaimed the right to live in the world. He also taught us how to demand that right through collective action. Dr. Kenneth Jernigan revolutionized the way that we think about blindness by arguing that blindness is not a handicap, it is a characteristic, as he explained. Quote, "No one is likely to disagree with me if I say that blindness, first of all, is a characteristic. But a great many people will disagree when I go on to say that blindness is only a characteristic. It is nothing more or less than that. It is nothing more special or more peculiar or more terrible than that suggests." When we understand the nature of blindness as a characteristic, a normal characteristic, like hundreds of others that in which we each of us must live, we shall better understand the real need to be met by services to the blind, as well as the false needs which should not be met, end quote. Over the years, through our collective experience, we have deepened our understanding of our philosophy. Today, President Riccobono is enhancing our philosophy by communicating it in simple, concrete terms. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day we raise the expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back. Now, let's go in the agenda. I don't know what page it's on. Anybody know? Because let's get ready and sing. Where's the music? Live the life you want. What else are we singing? Page 3, written Braille. Okay.
Live the life you want. Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. Grab a cane, get trained. Gotta get moving. Make a change and a wage. That's what we're doing. Come with me. Can stop you, shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. You and me and a bee, let's dream together. And a bee, you and me, lives on forever. Stop you, shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth.
Okay, let's go. While searching for gold, mankind has stumbled upon numerous discoveries. One of the most famous discoveries while looking for gold was the discovery of the New World by Christopher Columbus. The Federation has always encouraged blind people to explore and discover. In his 2007 banquet address entitled Expanding the Limits, the Uncertainty of Exploration, Mark Maurer states, quote, "We do not know what the possibilities are for us. We have not explored all of the elements that constitute the patterns of what we are and what we will become. However, we know more about the patterns than anybody else, and we have decided to explore it all. To reach as far as anybody can, to dream as much as anybody will, and to build in a way that will bring into being possibilities for us beyond anything that has ever previously been imagined. What are the limits, and where will we stop? Nobody can say. Perhaps the limits expand along with our knowledge, our imagination, and our courage," end quote. Blind people have made many discoveries through the National Federation of the Blind. How many seniors know the joy of independence because through the Federation, they discovered that they do not have to give up their homes due to loss of vision? How many students have discovered their full potential because of the opportunities they received through scholarships and youth empowerment stipends from the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland? How many blind children discover hope and understanding that they are not alone because of our NFB Bell Academies? As we know today, winners of various competitions receive a gold medal as their award. Although the practice of awarding gold medals at the Olympics was not established until 1904, Greek mythology contributed to the choice of gold as an appropriate award. If our state affiliates were to receive gold medals, the one that Maryland would deserve would be for establishing the Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning Bell. We want to salute Jackie Anderson and other parents who came up with the idea. And we're very fortunate that Michael Goss was our president when we were thinking about this and when we came up with the term Bell, because Michael knew firsthand about what happens when children do not have the opportunity to have Braille instruction. And it's, of course, very appropriate that in our agenda we have pictures of all of our three Bell Academies this year. Courage is associated with gold because of the many risks that were taken and the many battles that were fought throughout history in order to acquire it. Most of the motives for gold seekers were for personal gains. For instance, in the 1500s, Spanish conquerors destroyed the Inca civilization of Peru just to obtain their gold. Many Federationists demonstrate similar courage, but our motives are not for self-aggrandizement. Our motives are to benefit the lives of all blind people. I am proud to know many parents, some of whom are here at this convention, who have had the courage to stand up to school systems to demand appropriate services for their children. These parents do not take a stand once. They do it for years. One of the myths that confront us as blind people is the notion that we are safety risks. When Amber Elia needed backup daycare for her 6-year-old son, Max, she was denied services by the La Petite Academy in Frederick, Maryland. When Amber dropped her son off before work, the staff asked her what Max needed. Amber explained that all Max needed is verbal directions, since he knows how to use his white cane. By early afternoon, La Petite corporate headquarters had decided to refuse any further daycare for Max because they assumed he needed a one-on-one assistant for his safety. Quote, safety. Amber had the courage to stand up to this corporation with the assistance of the National Federation of the Blind. We will make sure that Max and all blind children will not be denied services from this national daycare chain. Employment discrimination cases abound in Maryland, as they do in most affiliates. Over the years, we have helped many individuals with these struggles. Currently, we are helping several individuals who lost their vision while on the job. Rather than follow the law and offer these individuals reasonable accommodations, too many employers try to push the individual into early retirement. Employers who should know better, such as the state of Maryland and Baltimore County, the state of Maryland, particularly the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulations, are guilty of this practice. When blind people have the courage to fight back, we will support them with our collective resources. When I think of courage, I think about Yasmin Riazuddin. With the help of the National Federation of the Blind, Yasmin has fought with Montgomery County government since 2009. Now, we know this story very well, but the important thing that some of us may not know is that thanks to the National Federation of the Blind, this coming Monday, October 31, Yasmin will begin her job as an information specialist with accessible equipment. Consider the courage of Mike Bullis and Gail Broda. The long, arduous battle that Mike Bullis fought to gain shared custody of his daughter is well known to most of us in Maryland. This four-year battle finally ended with a 10-day trial and cost Mike over $60,000. Mike turned his personal battle into a quest to make systemic changes in the legal system to protect the rights of all blind parents and caregivers. In 2009, we were able to get started on this process when companion bills 689 and SB 613 were enacted into law. But this was only the beginning. We had to go back in 2016, and because blind parents and caregivers did not have all the protections they needed. Mike Bullis was there, ready to help again, and he was ably assisted by other Federationists, including Gail Broda. Gail demonstrated great courage because she had never testified about anything in her life and was very new to the Federation. The custody of Gail's grandson was in question because Gail's son lived with her, since Gail, who is blind, would be involved in the care of her grandson. Social service officials had to determine whether putting that grandson in the custody of his father and blind grandmother was appropriate. The social service worker handling this case conducted a home visit, but never interviewed Gail, even though she was present. The social service worker wrote a report stating that because of her disability, Gail could not care for her grandson. This testimony helped to convince the General Assembly to enact SB 765, which Governor Hogan signed into law on May 10. Peter L. Bernstein, in his book, The Power of Gold, The History of an Obsession, explains that gold is chemically inert, so its radiance is forever. In Cairo, you will find a tooth bridge made for an Egyptian 4,500 years ago. Its condition is good enough to go in your mouth today. Does the National Federation of the Blind have the same longevity as gold? I don't really know the answer to that question, but I can say that the NFB seeks to make systemic changes that will have a long-term effect on the lives of blind persons. Consider the systemic changes that we have made in Maryland in education, blindness services, and access to information. For many years, the National Federation of the Blind has viewed with alarm the decline in literacy skills. The passage of the Maryland Literacy Rights and Education Act in 1992 remained one of our most significant achievements. And we know what this law is about. we start with the premise of Braille. Over the years, we have worked to ensure that this law is enforced throughout the state. To reduce the barriers of low expectations, we encourage the Maryland General Assembly to enact HB 413 and SB 230 in 2010. This legislation instructed the Maryland State Department of Education to create standards for students from pre-kindergarten through grade 12 to meet in Braille reading, writing, and mathematics. Since there are standards for students to meet in reading and writing print, why not require standards for blind students to meet in reading and writing Braille? We successfully collaborated with a committee of vision teachers to create the Maryland Common Core State Curriculum Frameworks for Braille. And these standards were issued in 2012, and they also include benchmarks for students to meet in Braille formatting and tactile graphics. These standards have become a model for other states, and they also help guide parents so that parents can assess their child's progress in Braille reading and mathematics. In 2017, to mark the 25th anniversary of the Maryland Literacy Rights and Education Act, we intend to conduct a literacy conference jointly sponsored by the NFB and the Maryland School for the Blind. In this conference, we will measure our progress and look for additional ways to enhance the literacy skills of blind and visually impaired students in Maryland. We have always understood that services for the blind improve when agency directors respond to consumer input. Affiliates of the National Federation of the Blind have worked tirelessly to improve these services. Consider the Maryland Workshop for the Blind. Workers at this facility were paid a mere 25 cents an hour, and there was a separate entrance for African Americans. It was no accident that things began to change in the 1970s when the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland became an effective statewide affiliate. This workshop was reinvented as Blind Industries and Services of Maryland, BISM. The old workshop model was tossed out and replaced with a new business model. BISM acknowledged the capabilities of blind people. Productivity and efficiency became paramount, enabling more workers, now known as associates, to be hired at the minimum wage or higher. This transformation did not happen overnight. The composition of the Board of Trustees of BISM expanded to 11 members. In time, Federationists John McCraw, Dara Samuels, and Georgia Myers were appointed to the Board of Trustees. Thanks to their efforts, significant change occurred. We owe them a large debt of gratitude, and I am sure that they are marveling at our progress. Having a successful model of the capabilities of disabled workers helped us to gain an important victory. In May of 2016, the Equal Employment Act was enacted into law. The practice of paying workers with disabilities less than the minimum wage will be eliminated in Maryland by 2020, and we will make sure that it is properly implemented, this law. Let's talk about rehabilitation. It's always been a challenge. However, we've made some progress. clients who receive services from the Division of Rehabilitation Services, DORS, are wondering how I can say that we made some progress, because unfortunately, bureaucratic red tape and delays in the delivery of services are increasing. If you need a KNFB reader, you can purchase it in 6 minutes with your own funds. It took DORS 6 months to purchase a KNFB reader for one consumer who did not have the money. Clients suffer because the state of Maryland is an indifferent employer. Too many counselors and teachers are forced to quit their positions for better paying jobs elsewhere. Although rehabilitation services in Maryland are far from perfect, we have come a long way. As I think about the progress we have made, I am reminded of the poignant story often shared with us by the late Ralph Thompson many years ago. He told us that his case was essentially written off by rehabilitation counselors, with the explanation that your problem is that you have the three B's. You're black, you're broke, and you're blind. Rightfully, such talk by a professional in the field of work with the blind would be deemed unacceptable today. One reason for the poor adjustment to blindness training is that state agencies have frequently had a monopoly on this training. By working on both the federal and state level, the National Federation of the Blind sought to break this monopoly by promoting consumer choice in service providers. In Maryland, we have been promoting client choice since 1989. When we insisted that Kay Monville had the right to attend the Louisiana Center and that James Story had the right to attend the Colorado Center for the Blind. During the appeal for James, the rehabilitation agency maintained that he did not need training in the skills of blindness because he had a sighted girlfriend to assist him. These were the first of many victories for choice in rehabilitation. And we intend to continue making sure that people have the choice of service providers that they need. Because we know that the I in the IPE stands for Individualized Plan for Employment. Now, think about this. We know that services are better if they can be in a separate identifiable agency. And over the years, we have attempted to do that, but it has not been easy. After our most recent attempt in 2004, DORS sought to placate our political activism and to quell the growing unease in the Maryland General Assembly by establishing within its bureaucratic structure the Office for Blindness and Vision Services, OBVS, in January 2005. OBVS remains subservient to the rules and policies of a general rehabilitation agency. However, OBVS is a big improvement over the earlier arrangement. Sue Schaefer, the first director of OBVS, understood that there must be balance in carrying out the policies and procedures of a state agency when weighed against the needs of clients. there must be consistency in enforcement of the rules. Ultimately, the agency exists to meet the needs of the clients. We look forward to working with Tony March, the new director of OBVS. And we are very pleased that several OBVS staff are with us at this convention. Let's give them a round of applause. Let's turn to the library. We know the story of the library. We know that in 1966, people had to get their services from Richmond, Virginia. And then in 68, we got our own library. Notice the dates. We, of course, know the story of the library being in a leaky facility, and we were able to help the library get its own building in 1992. For decades, we have been working to help the library. In 2014, we were able to get the library its own budget item for the first time. Before that, it was very easy for MSD, the Maryland State Department of Education, to rob the library funding. And that's just what they did. There's a plan to create a new separate agency that would be known as the Maryland State Library Commission. We must support this plan and help to make it a reality. It is time for the Library for the Blind to be freed from the bonds of the Maryland State Department of Education so that it can reach out to the newly blind, provide the quality services that we need in the 21st century. Now, we've been working on non-visual access for decades. We have done many things in the General Assembly to try to bring it about. We have individual laws about access, and then whenever a subject comes up, we get access inserted into that legislation, such as legislation about online learning. When that came up, we said, okay, non-visual access has to go in there. Same thing with the healthcare exchange. However, the laws are not enforced, ignored, and sometimes the state is duped by the vendor who says, oh, my program is accessible, when they are not. The latest example of this trickery was the purchase of a new state personnel system. Now, Governor Hogan recently created the Commission to Modernize State Procurement, which is to submit its recommendations to him by December 1st, 2016. We have been encouraging this commission to introduce accountability and penalties for violations of the non-visual access laws. We have done a good job in establishing a legal structure for accessibility. Now we must get the system to work. There's no doubt that gold represents wealth. The National Federation of the Blind of Maryland does not have monetary wealth. Our wealth resides in human capital. We have members who willingly sit through endless hearings so that we can make our case for equality. We have members who make sacrifices so that we can support our bid for opportunity, our crab feasts, so that we can give scholarships and youth stipends. This year, we awarded over $3,000 to tweens so that they could go to summer training programs. And tonight, we will give out two scholarships to our college students. Let's give ourselves a round of applause. We're doing a better job in getting our message out on Twitter and Facebook, and I hope you folks are continuing to tweet. And thank you, Karen. The we embarked on an event with Harris Teeter. They put a message on pharmacy bags, and 24,000 bags are in circulation each time we do this. So that means that in Glen Burnie, Silver Spring, and Columbia, 72,000 customers have heard about the National Federation of the Blind through the pharmacy bag program. The last attribute that I'll talk about is the most important one, love. If you are wearing a gold band on your finger, feel it and think about its significance. Think about the promise that we make to each other in the Federation. With love, hope, and determination, we turn dreams into reality. Are we a golden organization? You bet we are! Speculate with me for a moment about the future. Who will be the first blind person to win a Nobel Prize? Will it be in literature or chemistry? Perhaps it will be a Nobel Peace Prize. What will happen at the 100th anniversary convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland? Perhaps the keynote speaker will be the first blind president of the United States. I am sure that we will accomplish all of these things and more. One of my favorite quotations from Dr. Jernigan is his description of the future, which is just as true today as when he stated it in 1996 in his address to the convention entitled "The Revolution of the Colonel Books." I am absolutely certain of the general direction of our organization. Our mutual faith and trust in each other will be unchanged, and all else will follow. I know, to the depth of my being, that our shared bond of love and trust will never change, and that because of it, we will be unswervable in our determination and unstoppable in our progress. We have come a long way together in this movement. Some of us are veterans, going back to the 1940s. Others are new recruits, fresh to the ranks. Some are young, some are old, some are educated, others not. It makes no difference. In everything that matters, we are one. We are the movement. We are the National Federation of the Blind. Let's close with a song, Strive, in your agenda. And if you, page 17, you can at least sing the chorus if you can't get through all the verses. Let's go.
Sometimes people tell me blind people should be quiet and sit down. But I say no, I say no, I say no. They contend that I should be content to let others lead me around. But I say no, I say no, I say no. Everybody needs somebody to help sometimes, but I'm in charge of me. I've gotta strive, strive, strive. A little harder, reach, reach, reach. A little longer, work, work, work. A little harder, hope, hope, hope. A little stronger, watch me, watch me, watch me. Nothing's gonna stop me, stop me, stop me. I'm spreading my wings, soaring on a dream. I can do anything. I'll tell myself, go, oh, I'll just go, I will go. I'm not a fool, I need training and tools to live out my dreams. So I'll say, go, I'll just go, I will go. I'm not a passenger in my life, I'm gonna take control and drive. I've gotta strive, strive, strive. A little farther, reach, reach, reach. A little longer, work, work, work. A little harder, hope, hope, hope. A little stronger, watch me, watch me, watch me. Nothing's gonna stop me, stop me, stop me. I'm spreading my wings, soaring on a dream.
Know who we are and what we must
okay,
do.
Okay, let's go.
We are organized.
Thank you, fellow Federationists. This is my report.